Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. We are so grateful that you have joined us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation is going to be with Susie Favreau, who is a licensed clinical social worker with Banner Alzheimer's Institute. And we're going to be discussing a really interesting topic that I think a lot of people don't have an awareness of, called ambiguous loss. And I love that we are bringing this topic to our listeners today, because this is something that I have seen to be just so powerful in the even knowing it exists. You know, I spend a lot of my time, my professional time, teaching classes or being involved in support groups. And inevitably, you'll have a caregiver come up to you and they're expressing guilt and grief. And you can just tell by looking at this person that they're overwhelmed, they're stressed out. I mean, they're reaching capacity. And ambiguous loss has been something that even in just the simply explaining it to them, you can visibly see a weight lift off their shoulders. Like, oh, this applies to me. I get this now. And I've not seen anything really before that you really see caregivers take action on taking care of themselves now, which, you know, constantly we're saying to caregivers, you need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself. But this actually clicks and it gets people to take care of themselves.
It's so true, Heather. I would agree with you that this is so powerful, and this concept has been so meaningful to so many different people. Personally, I can share that some different folks that I've worked with that are caregivers during the pandemic have shared about how they've been cleaning out their closets just like the rest of us and going through old photos. And in doing so, it really has brought up, sure, those good memories, but it's also been a time of grief, and that there have been tears, you know, so sad that their spouse doesn't remember the people in those photos or the events anymore. It's like their person is present, but absent at the same time. So I am so excited about this topic. I remember the first time that I heard about it and my eyes were open and I said, you know, this is so impactful. I can't imagine the hope that it brings people and the tool that it gives people to just even have not the one term, but ambiguous loss, these two words together that share how they're feeling.
Well, let's dive into it, Janice, and bring on our guest, Susie Favreau. Susie, welcome to Dementia Untangled.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So before we get started, I want to hear a little bit more about your journey. What led you to connect with the dementia community? And more, even more specifically, I'm curious to hear how you connected with ambiguous loss.
Well, I am from Seattle, Washington. I got my master's degree in social work, or my bachelor's degree in social work in 1975. And with the exception of just 2 years of my career that I worked with the Girl Scouts, the rest of the time I've been working with older adults. And a few years after my BA degree, I went back to get my master's in social work and had the opportunity to work as an intern in Salicon County Services. And there I worked in a number of senior centers. During those years, I had an opportunity to be trained in several evidence-based programs, such as Powerful Tools for Caregivers, PEARLS, which is for depression, self-management of chronic conditions. And also, I was part of a program called Health Enhancement Program, also evidence-based in development as self-management of chronic conditions. And that really has been my vehicle, I guess, through my career. And 11 years ago, when I had an opportunity to come work with Banner, I was very excited to think about using these same principles and skills in working with caregivers, as well as people with dementia. And with ambiguous loss, how that came about was back in 2016, when I was preparing to do a presentation in the community, and I literally stumbled across this theory. And I realized a light bulb went off in my head that this really addressed what I was seeing in my work every day, just that stress and burden. Like, we're always talking about caregiver stress and burden, but this identified the core of it. And I just felt like I couldn't not share this with people. And so I went back to, you know, meeting with patients and families every day, and had the same response that I did in that presentation, where people sat up and it just resonated. So at that time, our boss got a grant and allowed me to develop a program, a 5-week program called Steps to Hope, where we got a chance to work as a group and exploring the principles of ambiguous loss. So that's kind of what brings us here today.
Wow, Susie, how interesting and really remarkable that it just kind of was a book on the bookshelf that you happened to pull off that day. So let's start from the beginning. I think a lot of caregivers are told the emotional experience that they're having is grief, but that doesn't quite match for caregivers of people with dementia. Can you explain how do typical grief and ambiguous loss differ?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Heather. Well, let me tell you a story, kind of how one gentleman explained to me that before he learned about ambiguous loss, he felt like he was churning inside. And he meant by that, he talked about the sadness, but also the anger, the irritability that he felt, and the uncertainty, the unclarity, the frustration of not knowing how this was going to end. How does he take care of it? That he just felt like he was always chasing something and didn't know what he was chasing, I guess. And these were emotions and feelings that he had never had before. But when he learned about ambiguous loss, he realized that what he had been experiencing was grief. And that blew him away, because how could he grieve his wife who was standing right in front of him? But once you understand the principles of ambiguous loss, that's what it is. It's presence, like Jana says, it's presence and absence occurring at the same time. And that is a confusing concept until you understand and even have a name for it.
Susie, can you go back to that book on the shelf a little and tell us more about that book?
The book is called Loving Someone Who Has Dementia. And it defines what ambiguous loss is. Ambiguous loss is a loss that's unclear, it has no resolution, and it has no closure. And the basic premise of it is that when a person is lost only partially, the ambiguity coupled with the loss creates a powerful barrier to both coping and grieving. It complicates grief, it confuses relationships, and it prevents closure. And it's really at the center of what we, you know, see in caregiver depression, anxiety, and certainly family conflict. It really has to do, the basic premise is that when you're living with this illness, it doesn't have a cure. Your only hope is your perceptions and your ability to change, your ability to become more comfortable living with the uncertainty of the disease.
And ambiguous loss isn't unique to caregivers of people with dementia, correct? There's other groups of people who would experience this as well.
Well, Heather, absolutely. I think what we're all living through right now and have been for the last year is the pandemic. The total uncertainty of when is this going to end? How is it going to end? These principles will serve as, once you learn this and once you put it into your life, you can't go back. It's just something that is going to help you be more resilient and more comfortable not having to try to fix everything, understanding that there are many things outside of our control, and dementia is one of them. The pandemic is one of them. There are lots of things that are within our control, and we can learn to become more comfortable living with that.
We've been talking a lot about grief, and you just mentioned the pandemic and all the losses that we've experienced, but caregivers really have that at an additional level. So they're going through the pandemic, but they have those griefs that they're dealing with on a daily basis. And sometimes folks can get frozen in their grief. Can you talk about frozen grief a little bit?
Frozen grief is just that it doesn't, you don't know what to do with it. It just stays the same. And that's where this book, Loving Someone with Dementia, is very helpful, as Dr. Boss provides what she calls guidelines, 7 guidelines. And what she asks caregivers to do is to focus on themselves and really reflect on these ideas of meaning, mastery, identity, ambivalence, attachment, and hope. And she asks the caregivers to really think about them for themselves, but then beyond that, to discuss them with other people. Because these are not a to-do list. You know, most of us are familiar with the 5 stages of grief and thought that they were supposed to be that you have to go through them one by one in a certain order. These guidelines are not that. This is not a to-do list. They don't have to be done in any specific order. And you don't even have to give them the same degree of attention that a caregiver at the beginning of their journey might go through those guidelines and focus on 2 to 3 that are just, you know, that they are enmeshed in right now. And later on, it might be something else. You tailor them to your own needs. And by doing that, and by continually working with these and applying them to your situation, it really helps us learn how to become more comfortable living with the uncertainty of the dementia. And I love too, and there are some other principles too, such as good enough is good enough. You know, perfection is no longer the goal with dementia. Some days some days are not going to be what you expected, and you develop another plan and it's good enough. You don't hold yourself maybe to the same standard that you did in other situations. But I love at one point she had made a comment. She externalizes the fault of this, saying that the caregiver, it's not you, the caregiver, that's messed up. It's the ambiguity of this situation. That is what's messed up.
And I recall Dr. Boss saying that. I found that so impactful. You're not messed up. The situation is.
Yes.
We're finding ourselves in extenuating circumstances, and your response is completely reasonable within these unreasonable circumstances.
And what's so great too is that once caregivers embrace that, they come back. I mean, they are so excited that they found kind of some freedom within themselves that they didn't know they had, that they could let things go. One woman, she came into a support group. It was so fun. She said, you know, 2 months ago, I would have been so angry when I got here because my father-in-law had spilled scrambled eggs on the floor and the table was a mess. But you know what? Today, I just got him ready and we came here and it's okay. I can go with the flow. And that means everything. Your perception creates how your day is going to be. And caregivers find that to be gold.
When you talk about those guidelines, I love how the last one is hope, and that you named your program after this book with these concepts, Steps to Hope. Can you talk to us a little bit about how those guidelines lead us to hope?
Yes, two things. Hope, actually, we made that an acronym. Hope for H for hope, O for optimism, P for purpose, and E for endurance. And these were all characteristics that we want caregivers to have. And the story goes that there was a woman who was talking about her caregiving experience. And she said it felt like climbing up a ladder, but she was always so worried that when she got to her destination, no one would be there to help her up. And she also worried that she might fall down and nobody would help her. And so that's where we came up kind of imagining kind of this ladder and a caregiver climbing, and came up with Steps to Hope. I had kind of forgotten about that. Thank you for bringing that up. But let me talk about you a little bit about the steps. The first one is about finding meaning. And what that has to do with is it means making sense of the situation. And that's really hard to do when it is so uncertain and unclear. A skill that she talks about that's very helpful is you find meaning by accepting two ideas simultaneously, both are right. It's kind of both and. It's called paradoxical thinking. So my person is both here and absent, or I have to take care of my mom and take care of myself. So it's understanding for some people, the meaning is, well, it is what it is, and that's okay. Boss says, you know, if that's what it is, that works. But for others, people come to the point that your relationship is strangely lost, yet it still exists. And it needs to also include finding some hope for your future within that. Second guideline is balancing control with acceptance. And that just basically is understanding that there are things we can't control, and dementia is one of them. And so we're not going to try to control it. We're going to try to work with it. It's okay. There are problems that can't be solved. There are questions that can't be answered. And we can learn to become comfortable with that. That's a hard one for caregivers that really are kind of a type A personality. They struggle the most, but even those people have the ability to learn this and to realize that their life and their person's life can be better. And that's what I also want to say about all of these, that once you start practicing some of these, it doesn't only affect the caregiver's life, because the caregiver is more relaxed. And we know categorically that when the caregiver is relaxed and refreshed, the person with dementia is going to have fewer behavioral disturbances, and life is better for everybody. Third one is about your identity. Broaden your identity. Do not let your caregiver role being the only role that you have. That's just not healthy for anybody. And so it's important that you ask for and accept help. It's important that you spend time with friends. You'd spend time with people that can be present with you in a way that perhaps your person with dementia can no longer be. The fourth is about managing your mixed emotions, and that's that ambivalence. That ambivalence is that those positive and negative feelings that happen simultaneously. Love, hate, joy, anger. And for the caregiver, the wish, I want this to be over, and then the horrible grief of what that might mean or what that would mean. Ambivalent feelings are normal and natural. We have to understand that, but we need to share those feelings with others, whether it be friends, support groups, or professional, so as not to act on them. We can learn to manage our ambivalent feelings. And the fifth one is hold on and let go. And that has to do with attachment. You want to be with your person, but you have dreams and hopes while you're providing care, and also when you are finished with the care. And actually, let me go back to hopes, hold on and let go. It's to continue to provide care, but also to take care of yourself, such as going on a vacation or making new friends. And then the sixth one is imagining new hopes and dreams while you are caring and after you are no longer caring. You need to have hopes while you're taking care, such as a woman had always wanted to take piano lessons and never had the opportunity. A postcard came in the mail and someone in her neighborhood was teaching piano lessons. And she decided, I can do that. And she did it, and it changed her life. And after 3 weeks, she came back to the group, and she had learned a few songs, and she was so proud to talk about how she and her husband now, after dinner, sit down at the piano together while she plays the piano. So that's while she was caring. But also think about when you're not going to be caring, and what you want in the future. And then her last one, of course, is it goes from finding meaning to taking care of yourself. That's the whole cycle. And in the process of doing that, you see that that's possible, to be able to care for yourself as you take care of your loved one.
It's really interesting as you kind of talk through these in that order, how it almost is a cycle of looking to that point of acceptance of this is your reality. And we accept what our reality is and try to live the best we can in it.
Heather, that's a really good summary of it. It is. It's not magic, and it takes some work, because for many people, some of these principles really haven't fit what they've done up until now. But this is the new now. You know, this is the new normal. And I know, because I've seen, it improves people's lives. Once you get it, you get it. And it can make all the difference in the world.
So I would love for you to share a little bit more about what you've seen in individuals who have learned about ambiguous loss, or even more specifically have participated in your Steps to Hope program, because you've seen some really incredible results from that.
Yeah, there's so many different stories, but for the most part, it's really that while they're doing what they're doing, they find more pleasure. What I loved about this when I first learned about it is it was another way. So often when a diagnosis is made, people focus on what's been lost, and people focus on who the person was before the diagnosis, and they hold on to that. And by holding on to that, they can never appreciate any changes that happen from that time. Because there are times, too, where other characteristics, where maybe someone, a man, a husband who had been so directed in his career, never had much time to be very thoughtful or grateful to his wife. And in dementia, sometimes that changes. And it's a miracle. But if we can't be open to those changes and to see the person who they are now and positive things that they are experiencing, we lose that. So that's just the first thing that comes to mind. Also, I thought of another person too, someone who really had difficulty with this, but after his wife passed away, he was able to go on and help other caregivers many times, while helping create some programming, but also sharing with them what he had done well and what he hadn't done well. And he was kind of a personal, you know, example of this, which was very powerful. So yes, there are just countless examples of that.
And I love how your story has impacted so many people's life story. Your story of finding a book on the shelf and then finding a term that helps us to name the problem that people are experiencing as caregivers, and then turning that into a program. And you know, we are research facilities. So tell us a little bit about the research that you have found for folks who have gone through this program.
Well, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but generally caregivers expressed increased improvement in their own mood, in their ability to provide care. And one that was very interesting was that there was a dependency scale that demonstrated a group found that from the beginning of the group to the end, they were measuring that their person was less dependent than they had started out as, which doesn't make sense with the disease, but makes sense based on the caregiver's perception that they weren't as dependent as they had been. And also mood had been improved. And then the thing that I was really thrilled about is it was pretty large, like 78 or 80% of participants really were engaging in self-help activities for their own health, increasing their own health, like getting help when needed, like going to support groups, activities that had become now part of their daily or their life living with dementia.
Susie, that's just amazing that with the Steps to Hope program, that by changing your perception, they're actually seeing less of a strain, less of a burden, less of dependence from their person.
That one group did. Yes, that's right.
So remind us again, what is the name of this book that you stumbled upon on the bookshelf?
The book is called Loving Someone Who Has Dementia by Dr. Pauline Boss.
And we will put a link to that book on our Facebook page for any of our listeners who are interested in learning more. I think I've taken so much away from this conversation, and it's interesting how applicable it is, not just to caregivers of people with dementia, but as you said earlier, really what all of us are experiencing right now with this pandemic. Susie, could you give us any final thoughts on ambiguous loss?
I am so glad you asked, because I have a quote from Dr. Boss. I know when I was putting this together, I was so concerned. I didn't want to use her words without giving credit. And, certainly these are not my principles, and it was just all from her. And there's a quote that she has said that I want to share, because it just sums up everything. So from Pauline Boss, when you love someone with dementia, the goal is not perfection. The new standard for your relationship is simply for it to be good enough. Life with dementia can be less than ideal and still pretty good. That perceptual shift is under your control.
What a perfect way to close today's discussion. We have been talking with Susie Favreau, who is a licensed clinical social worker with Banner Alzheimer's Institute. Susie, thank you so much for helping us untangle the topic of ambiguous loss.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. This is my favorite topic. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Susie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn more about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.